Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. View, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't bother you with having to call and carry us. No, we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, so there's none of those annoying commercial interruptions that you have to live with traditional terrestrial broadcasts. It's great to have you all back as the McBurney compound settles in under the second siege of the season, this time the siege is, well, we believe caused by either a raccoon or a pack of raccoons, which are wily animals. Bought a live catch trap, and this morning the bait was out, the bait was gone, and there was no animal in the trap. So a wily, crafty animal is what we're up against here. And so we've taken the path of least resistance, and we've electrified the chicken run. That's right. When you think we can't outsmart a raccoon or a pack of raccoons, indeed we can outsmart them because we have access to electricity and technology. And so, and then we have other means. We have been hardening. We've been hardening the target for the better part of the best part of the weekend, actually. The whole part of the weekend, right? The entire weekend. But we're glad to be back with you, and we're glad to have heard. Well, I shouldn't say we're glad to have heard. I want to open up with sad news. The announcement that Kofi Annan, the former head of the UN, in fact, a career UN officer at the UN, he rose through the ranks at the UN. Kofi Annan has died at the age of 80 years, proving that God is merciful, because Kofi Annan was a pagan and a heathen of the lowest order, and a worshiper of humanism. Let's see, I've got the report here from the Associated Press. Annan presided over some of the worst failures and scandals at the world body, the United Nations, including the Rwandan genocide in 1994 and the massacre in Srebrenica in 1995. We remember, we were all there, we all lived it, and we wondered, how does this guy keep his job? Anyway, I believe he started out in the office of UN refugees and ended up in UN peacekeeping and then a lot of other UN activities until eventually he was the Secretary General of the United Nations, under which he presided over the murders of approximately 1 million people. Approximately 1 million people were murdered on his watch while he was actually watching. And people were waiting for him to... Anyway, I just remember the guy, and he's dead, and I guess I'm not happy about it, but did not shed a tear. The AP reports that his foundation announced his death. Maybe none of his family members survived his tenure. I don't know. I haven't really looked into whether or not he was married. I never heard much about... never heard much about Kofi after he left office in the early 2000s. Anyway, so there you go, proof that God is merciful. Even a pagan, heathen, godless United Nations general, secretary general, is allowed to dwell on the earth for 80 years and be given chance after chance to repent and to seek God and to humble himself and to stop murdering all those children, by the way. The United Nations funded hundreds of thousands of abortions under Kofi Annan. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions. I think he was there for almost 10 years, just as the general secretary. All right, let's move on. I'm sick of him. Let's go to Chelsea Clinton. From the personhood file, Chelsea Clinton is speaking out about Brett Kavanaugh. That's Donald Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court. Well, she's not just speaking out. It seems that Chelsea Clinton, who the Washington Examiner reminds us is the daughter of former President Bill and former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. She's the daughter of those two, we are reminded. Allegedly. Anyway, Chelsea is not only speaking up about Brett Kavanaugh and the threat he poses to her ability to get an abortion, but she's going on tour. That's right. She's going on the Rise Up for Roe tour, which I think is headlined. She started last Saturday in New York City, where she spoke. So she's not singing or playing any instruments, but she's going on tour. Started in New York last week. Let's see. They will have events in, other stops on Chelsea's abortion tour will be Boston, Portland, Oregon, Washington, Austin, Texas, Phoenix, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Denver, and Des Moines, Iowa. And just to be, yes, Des Moines, Iowa. That's Chelsea's abortion tour. I wonder if Chelsea's appearing at every event. You think she'll be speaking at... I wonder if she's the headliner or is she the opening act? Maybe Pearl Jam will be headlining and Chelsea will just be opening, warming up the crowd, so to speak. Getting them all hyped up about going and getting those abortions. Boy, Chelsea, would I have something else on her? Oh, here she is. I had something else from Chelsea. That was from the Washington Examiner. This report is from a website called IJR, which I believe is the International Journal Review, but it could be something else. I apologize. I only have the URL here on the page. Anyway, Chelsea Clinton basically spoke up at this event where she was opening for Pearl Jam or something like that. Maybe she was opening for... Who's the other abortion maniac? The one with the multicolored hair from the 80s. She's doing the eczema commercial now. What's her name? Cyndi Lauper. Maybe Cyndi Lauper opens and Chelsea is in between sets and then Pearl Jam closes, maybe. Anyway, at the event, Chelsea Clinton, the daughter of former President Bill and former First Lady Hillary Clinton, allegedly. made some claims about the economic impact of legalized abortion and the impact it's had on the economy of the United States. So she spoke about economics, the economics of abortion, basically, at the ever-popular Rise Up for Roe tour, probably sold out by George Soros, bought most of the tickets and then invited Antifa people to come and fill the pews, so to speak. Anyway, during the event, Chelsea Clinton said, quote, American women entering the labor force from 1973 to 2009 added like $3.5 trillion to our economy. Hello? That's not disconnected from the fact that Roe became the law of the land in January 1973. Unquote. So that's what she said. So I think she's implying here that many, many more women were able to go to work and add $3.5 trillion to the economy from 1973 to 2009. I think that's what she's implying here, although it's a little hard to follow. Maybe you had to be there. And unfortunately, well, there was no way I was going to be there. Poor Chelsea. She never had a chance, right? Never had a chance. But she turned out to be even more evil than I thought. I remember when I was younger. I remember I used to pray regularly that Chelsea Clinton would somehow escape the influence of her evil and vile and wicked parents, Hillary Clinton. And boy, I had a good joke there, and then I couldn't remember his name. That's really sad. But the guy she looks like, who used to work for Bill, I need to be on my toes if I'm going on the air. This is pretty... Web Hubble, thank you very much. I used to pray that Chelsea could escape the influence of her evil parents, Hillary Clinton and Webb Hubble. And, of course, the guy who raised her, Bill Clinton, who was evil. But, and I prayed that honestly when I was much younger and much more naive. I used to pray that somehow, some way, I actually said a similar prayer for Kim Dong-un. I used to pray that Kim Dong-un, I used to say, Lord, if there's any way that you can that you can work in the lives and the consciences of people that somehow Hillary Clinton, I'm sorry, Chelsea Clinton and Kim Il-sung's kid, whoever Kim Il-sung's kid is, because I didn't know who it was at the time. I just remember Kim Il-sung inherited the mantle from the first Kim, whose name escapes me at the moment. And I realized that this is a dynasty, and I prayed that maybe. So anyway, God is not a magician. He can't just blink his eyes and twinkle his nose and snap his fingers and make it so that, well, so that Chelsea Clinton doesn't grow up to be the Kim Jong-un of America. But instead of missiles, she has forceps and a suction machine. And she's on tour for abortion, and she turned out way more evil than I would have thought. I wouldn't have thought she could be this evil. To be a pom-pom girl for child killing? Isn't that bizarre? By the way, hasn't she been married? Isn't she married now? Have they had a kid yet? Have they had a kid? Has she had a kid? I think she's had a kid. Anyway, let's see. I wonder how many abortions she's had. I wonder if she'd be offended if you asked. Hey, Chelsea, how many abortions have you had? If I ever see her, I think I'll ask her that. Since I stopped praying for her a long time ago, at least earnestly. I still pray for her generally as I pray for the plight of the wicked in general. But I don't mention her by name anymore. All right. Anyway, by the way, Chelsea, I don't know if you took a lot of math in college. I mean, I've seen you on television. And it's obvious that, you know, you got a pass in college because you don't seem all that bright. But I wonder what the cost of murdering nearly 100 million children has been, Chelsea. The nearly 100 million children who have been murdered in America since Roe v. Wade, the date 1973 that Chelsea managed to memorize. One of the few things in her college exams that she actually committed to memory was the date that Roe v. Wade became the prevailing opinion in the country. Let's just put it that way. How much did that? So she says we added $3 trillion over the course of, what, 73, 83, 93, 03, 30, 40, 50, oh, 50 years, let's call it. She says $3.5 trillion because women were able to go to work. But I wonder if she sat down and calculated the cost of 100 million missing citizens and their children. And their children. I wonder what that cost, Chelsea. Apparently, it cost your soul. I think that's the that's what it cost. Well, at least for Chelsea. And an awful lot of others. But let's move on because I know abortion is a topic that people don't like to think about. People certainly don't like to talk about. And I know it annoys certain people when I bring it up, so we'll move on. After all, I'm not the one obsessed with abortion. It's Chelsea Clinton who's obsessed. She's on tour, after all. It's her big break. As weird and depressing as all that is. Now, let's move on into the real science file. Because this is real. I have a story from NewScientist.com. Where I was only able to get the first three sentences because I did not click through the paywall in order to subscribe to New Scientist because I find it an offensive and distasteful magazine in general. But they reported on a study about birth and death and miscarriage, mostly about birth. But they basically confirmed what the gynecological community has suspected, the obstetric community has suspected for the better part of a century, is that most women actually have more miscarriages than live births over their lifetime. Yes, many embryos miscarry rather than develop into hemp. Previous studies have suggested that miscarriages are the most common outcome of conception. And now a meta-analysis claims to have confirmed it. For women in their 20s, conception is as likely to end in miscarriage as it is in live birth, says William Rice, an evolutionary biologist at the University of California, Santa Barbara. It's a large meta-study, crunching numbers. And I've suspected for quite some time this was true because I've had an interest in biology fetology, embryology, and fertility in general for 20 years or so. And so I've suspected that it was true, and now it seems that it's been confirmed, at least by one study. So here's some evidence in that direction. And this, for me, confirms one of my suspicions about how it is that there can be so much evil and pain and horrible things in the world, and people who hate God promote wickedness, murder one another, hurt one another all the time, every day. How can God possibly deal with it? And I think it's because he has a constant stream of new little children entering heaven every day. That's how I think. That's one of the things I think stays God's hand. And at some point, when that ebbs to a degree where our Heavenly Father begins to pay more serious attention to what's going on here, well, that's when I'm afraid it will all come down. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's good to have you here. It's good to be here. It's good to be alive. Now, we were just talking about birth. And, well, we'll continue on talking about birth in the culture file. Channel 2, Fox Local. Chillicothe, Ohio. Chillicothe? Not sure how to pronounce that. They have a Chillicothe in Texas. And then we always used to pronounce it Chillicothe. And then we got... Anyway, Chillicothe, Ohio. A mother who was overdosing on heroin simultaneously gave birth to a child in an Ohio Burger King bathroom last Friday afternoon. Yeah. Officers found... Elizabeth Sanders, 26-year-old Elizabeth Sanders, sitting on the toilet in the women's restroom with a suspected ball of heroin on the floor beside her, and she was passed out cold, looked dead as a doornail. Sanders told officers after they shook her awake, she said she thought she had suffered a miscarriage. However, when they took her off the toilet, there was an infant lying face up in the toilet looking at the police officers. Alive. And well as you can be in the toilet of a Burger King toilet. Well, a medic grabbed the newborn. The baby was taken to the hospital by the police, who did not shoot any unarmed black men on the way, just to be clear. And the boy rescued from the toilet in the Burger King is expected to be okay. That's if we can get him away from his parents. The father, by the way, 26-year-old Zachary Fry, was found passed out behind the wheel of a running vehicle in the parking lot as his wife overdosed on heroin and simultaneously gave birth to their child, leaving us all to wonder what is the hope for the future of Western civilization if this is the condition of modern day parenthood amongst the millennial class. But I know this isn't the rule. This is the exception. I know. But when you hear so many stories like this day after day, anyway, it just makes it start to seem like maybe things aren't going well. At least for a number of the youngsters. Anyway, we're really glad that the police fished the baby out of the toilet. We'd be happy to take the kid, by the way. He could come and stay here at the McBurney compound. And, well, that would be the best thing that could ever happen to that kid. That's just unbelievable. And that's shocking, right? I mean, are you shocked? I know it's hard to shock anybody anymore. But that actually shocked me. Now, here's something that's not shocking. Norway is exploring government-funded heroin for addicts. Yes, now Norway, according to the French press agency, Norway already has one of the highest drug overdose rates in Europe. So now they're looking at prescribing free heroin to the most serious addicts to improve their living conditions. Living? Okay. To improve their living conditions. Let's see, the Norwegian Directorate for Health and Social Affairs. Can you imagine? How do you become that? How do you become a member or perhaps the secretary of the Norwegian Directorate for Health and Social Affairs? I think you have to sell your soul to Satan. There's no way you get a gig like that unless you're a full-on humanist, homosexualist, radical, feminist, transgenderist, every other kind of ist, so that you'd be so sick in the head that you'd think that free heroin might be the solution for the overdose problem. How do you get that twisted? You've got to be obsessed with a lot of weirdo, bizarro stuff. Well, anyway, the folks at the Norwegian Directorate for Health and Social Affairs have been tasked with identifying patients, that means a heroin addict, what we used to refer to colloquially as a junkie. But we don't do that anymore because that hurts people's feelings. And the last thing you want to do when someone's tying a rubber band around their arm and sticking a needle in the park, and the last thing you want to do is hurt their feelings. Instead, they're patients. That's like the medical marijuana here in Colorado back when they first legalized all that. We're here to take care of our patients. We want to serve our patients, said the bleary-eyed guy with the white lab coat and the ponytail. Uh-huh. Anyway, they've been tasked there at the Norwegian Directorate for Health and Social Affairs at identifying patients, examining implementation, and calculating the costs. So it's a very utilitarian operation they've got going there at the Norwegian Directorate for Health and Social Affairs. They're going to figure out how much it costs and if they can save a few bucks. I mean, when people overdose by accident on the street, there's a lot of cleanup and, you know, there's a lot of inconvenience to deal with. If you could herd them all into one place and give them the dope on a schedule, so to speak, at least when they drop dead, it would be all clean, and I suppose you could save a few dollars. Let's see, we have a quote from the health minister, Benti Hoie. Too many vowels. Benti Hoie. He says, we hope that this will provide a solution. That's the health minister. Leading us to wonder exactly how did he get his gig, for crying out loud. We hope this will provide a solution. Oh, and it'll give a better quality of life to some addicts. And I suppose a better quality of death to others. I don't know where he's going with that. Let's see here. The strategy of free dope for heroin addicts has already been adopted or tested in Switzerland, the Netherlands, and Denmark. What's with the Nordic peoples? What's up with them? How come they seem more suicidal than the rest of even the Europeans? Is there something about all that dark? It's as dark like half the year that they get all depressed and they just become more suicidal? I don't know. Well, according to the French press agency, the initiative could benefit up to 400 drug addicts. Okay, or it could hurt up to 400 drug addicts or more, or none. So it's, you know, that we're basically handing out free heroin. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. But could it possibly get any worse in the Nordic regions as they're overdosing in the dark up there? Well, yes, it could get worse. And it will get worse. Because now the government is going to be even more responsible for directly killing and destroying people. Even more than they are already, which they already are pretty bad over there. I mean, it's a socialist paradise in all of the Nordic countries. A socialist anti-paradise. All right, so let's come from Norway and the free heroin and all that. Come back over to Aurora, Colorado, where we're updating a story that I promised you we would update. Because I made a prediction. I made a prediction about the naked intruder. Remember the naked intruder story? Now that was shocking. You're home, it's dark, it's late at night. Suddenly there's a naked man in your house. He's got a hold of your grandson. I mean, that's shocking. You remember the story? The naked intruder breaks in, grabs the grandson, the father and the grandfather struggle. The grandfather grabs a gun, shoots and kills the naked maniac. And in the ensuing hullabaloo, the police shot and killed the grandfather. A horrible tragedy on that, in that respect. But a shocking story as to how do you end up with a naked intruder in your house with your grandson. Well, I made a prediction last week that whoever this maniac was, he would have a long criminal history. And guess what? The maniac has a long criminal history. He's a well-known gangster in Aurora, Colorado. Had a long arrest record. This is according to the Denver Post. His name was Dejon Harper. And he was the one attacking the 11-year-old when he was shot and killed by Richard Gary Black Jr. in the grandfather's home. And as I said, Black was then fatally shot by an Aurora police officer in the ensuing confusion. The war zone down there in Aurora. Well, Dejon Harper had a couple of aliases that we're aware of. The first alias that Dejon Harper liked to go by was Hoppa Boy Killer. I said the alias was Hoppa Boy Killer. The other was Hoppa Chaos Lil. Yeah. He was a gangster. In 2011, he was arrested. An attempted murder charge and child abuse, but these were later dropped by prosecutors. We don't know why. Probably some kind of plea deal. Man, I'm having some kind of allergic reaction here. You'll have to forgive me. Hang with me. All right, so he was arrested in 2011, attempted murder, pled that down to some kind of weapons violation, something like that. He had a long history as a juvenile offender. Got 2 years probation. 2012, he's arrested for felony assault, menacing with a deadly weapon. 2013, found guilty of felony assault. He ended up sentenced to 3 years for that. 2016, was found guilty of misdemeanor theft. Was sentenced to 180 days in jail. And was jailed again last year in Denver on a parole violation. So part of the catch and release program. Processed in and out of the justice system and given just enough time out of jail for the Hoppa Boy Killer to actually try to kill a boy, get himself killed, and end up tragically getting a grandfather killed along the way.
Yeah!
Doug McBurney. Yes, dispatched onto the highway was Hoppa Boy Killer. He's on his way to exactly what was promised to a lowlife like him. Now, the judges, the juries, the legislature, yeah, all of them. All of these governing officials who were responsible for processing Hoppa Boy Killer through the justice system from as a juvenile through 2011 all the way to 2018, will they face any consequences for the fact that this maniac was allowed to be roaming the streets late at night naked in Aurora, Colorado to accost an 11-year-old boy? Will they face any consequences? Well, not in this life, perhaps. But there will be consequences, and there should be consequences in this life. But, as I've said, it's just a system now. Nobody's responsible for the fact that Hoppa Boy Killer ended up trying to kill a boy. No, nobody's actually held responsible except him, and that's only because the grandfather shot and killed him. That's the only reason he's being held responsible today, as he should be. All right, now let's go to Chicago. Chicago, at least six people were shot and a grandmother was killed overnight just this past Thursday. You remember we reported on the, I think we reported. Over 70 were shot during the weekend of August 3rd. You remember that? 11 of those people died. 33 people were shot over last weekend. But this is just a Thursday night, just this past Thursday night, just an average Thursday night in Chicago. 10 people shot and grandmother Estelle Robertson. Grandmother Estelle Robertson was sitting on a couch in her house when a shot fired from the street struck her in the abdomen, fatally wounding her. She is dead. And Rahm Emanuel is still the governor. And Barack Obama is breaking ground on his earthly worship center, his presidential library there in Chicago, as the blood flows in the streets of Chicago. That's actually to a level where it's shocking. Although it's hard to be shocked by news out of Chicago anymore. The only thing that was actually shocking that we've heard out of Chicago is that there are a few white liberals on the lakeshore who are upset about Barack Obama taking some of their parkland. That's all right, let's move on. Just sickening. Speaking of no consequences, let's go to the justice file where Fox News reports about this fella in Virginia. He tied up a 14-year-old girl and assaulted her. But for this reason and that, for a number of different reasons, the judge has decided that he will do no jail time. Now, you people know how I feel about jail time. I'm against jail time as a punishment for crimes. But since we're in the civilization we're in, this is the way society is structured. You would have expected the judge to sentence this guy. I mean, he tied up and assaulted a 14-year-old girl. He should be snuck up behind and shot in the head after his conviction. Without warning. That's what should happen to him. Preferably by the girl's father. But Circuit Judge T.J. Haller basically said, whatever, it's not that big of a deal. The kid was originally sentenced. He was 18 when he assaulted the 14-year-old, tied her up, raped her. He was originally sentenced to 10 years in prison, 8 years suspended. That means he would have only been in jail for 2 years. But Circuit Judge T.J. Haller suspended even the 2 years. And so the Logan Michael Osborne, a 19-year-old maniac, anyone who would tie up a girl and do something like that should be killed. That's all. You can't tolerate that. And we have to set an example to the other 18-year-olds who might be thinking about doing something like that to a young girl. And if we would execute Logan Michael Osborne, well, that would save the next 14-year-old. Trust me. and it would save an 18-year-old from becoming a rapist. But instead, he's playing video games tonight, I suppose. Or maybe he's out on the street, stripping off his clothes, heading into a neighborhood near you. Who knows what Logan Michael Olson is doing now? Well, he's on supervised probation, so we've got that going for him. And he must register as a sex offender, by the way. This judge, by the way, Circuit Judge T.J. Haller, was criticized back in 2016 when he rejected the state's request to deny release to Dana William, who was in prison for raping his ex-girlfriend. So Virginia, the state of Virginia, requested that this rapist be kept in prison, and the judge said no and let him go. After his release, William strangled to death his ex-wife's father, abducted her mother, and then fatally shot himself. And investigators later found the body of the mother. Anyway, so the judge actually releases this guy in 2016. And later, this guy kills two people and then kills himself right when police were about to arrest him. Will Judge T.J. Haller face any consequences for what he's done? No, he will not. What should he face? He should face the consequences of someone who murdered two people. The judge, his door should be kicked in the middle of the night, and he should be arrested, hauled out of his bed, and charged with double murder for letting this maniac out. Well, that's how it would be in a just system. But the system would have to already be organized. I'm not advocating that we kick in the door of this judge. Well, I suppose I am advocating that to a certain degree, but only hypothetically, in a truly just system rather than just the system we have now. On just the system we have now, we can't do anything to this judge. I don't even think we're allowed to inconvenience this judge without being arrested. I don't think we would be allowed to go to his what do they call it, where the judge hangs out? Go to his courtroom. But don't they have an area in the back of the courtroom where you go with the judge? I can't remember what they call it. I've been hauled back there by the judge and the lawyer to whisper. They whisper stuff so the jury can't hear it. But I can't remember what it's called because I'm not on my game. I'm having some kind of allergic breakdown here. It's probably starting to affect my cerebellum. Anyway, judge's chambers. We couldn't go to the judge's chambers and even inconvenience him or express our dismay or our concern without the judge having us arrested. So that's why I do it here on the show. I'm expressing my dismay, concern, and my outright outrage at this judge for allowing yet another maniac out. So there. And now I hope someone else doesn't get killed, judge. Would that get your attention? Is that what it takes? I don't think he pays attention. I don't think any of them pay attention. Anyway. Now, speaking of judges and bad judgments, let's go to the war file where a judge in New Mexico, Sarah Bacchus, you all heard about the Muslim cult in New Mexico, basically a terrorist training camp is what it looked like, with a bunch of whacked out, drugged out looking Muslims. Turns out the leader of this Muslim cult is a woman, 35-year-old woman, the mother of six of the children. I don't have her name here, but I don't want to give her any publicity anyways. She's a native of Haiti with unclear immigration status. And they were all arrested out there with one dead child and of a bunch of emaciated children being trained to do heaven knows what by a bunch of obvious maniacs. I mean, if there's one dead child, that right there. Well, anyway, the judge Sarah Bacchus there in New Mexico ordered all four of the suspects, the adults, released on $20,000 bond last week. As long as they promise to wear ankle monitors and attend future court hearings. The judge was okay. Now, there was a dead child found in the camp, by the way. Is that not reason enough to at least hold all four of them until we figure out how that child died? Well, not to Judge Sarah Backus. After all, maybe she bought tickets for Chelsea Clinton's abortion tour. And the life of one dead child doesn't really affect Judge Sarah Backus all that much. You know, up with Roe and all that. Rise for Roe. And hey, we've killed nearly 100 million. This is just one dead kid in the desert in New Mexico. Hey, if we could get $2,000 out of each one of these, let's just let him go, says Judge Sarah Backus. Unbelievable. Anyway, it looks like that the feds found some way to take these people into custody. The ones who did make bond, and the other ones can't even make bond. By the way, a three-year-old child, Abdul Ghani, is the one who was found dead. And let's see. The leader of the cult believes that she's the mother of Abdul Ghani, who was abducted from the custody of the adult male Muslim's first wife. This is so hard to follow. I apologize. Anyway, the maniac in the cult reportedly believes that the Muslim guy's first wife, or his legal wife, stole the baby from her womb using black magic. And Judge Sarah Backus has released this maniac back out into society on a $20,000 bond, which means she had to come up with a couple of grand. That's just, well, we'll see how that turns out. Anyway, I can't wait to see Judge Sarah Backus on Judgment Day. I'd like to get her and TJ Holler in the same room on Judgment Day. Now, that would be something to watch. I hope you all can make it. Meanwhile, there was a terrorist attack in London. Did you all hear about the terrorist attack in London? Let's see. This was a Sudanese migrant drove his car at high speed toward the Palace of Westminster, injuring pedestrians and cyclists. And so this wasn't the Muslim terrorist. This wasn't their best guy. He wasn't a highly efficient terrorist, and he didn't kill anyone, but he did injure and terrorize people. And he crashed his car into the barricades outside of Parliament. And in response, London Mayor Sadiq Khan has said that cars should be banned from parts of London to prevent terrorist attacks. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the Weekly Worldview, where we are here to report to you that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration signed a new contract in July to acquire fresh human fetal tissue to transplant into humanized mice. So let that one sink in. Yeah, this is also that the mice will have a functioning immune system upon which the FDA can test various drugs and biologics. Yes, the FDA insists the human fetal tissue is needed to continue the ongoing research being led by FDA. Yeah. Now, the FDA does like to point out that fetal tissue accounts for a very small fraction of the FDA's total research. It is critical to understanding how the human immune system responds to certain drugs and biologics. It's just a very small part of what they do there at the FDA. They're creating, basically they're getting a, fetal tissue from elective abortions only, not from miscarriages, because that tissue is, well, I mean, I don't want to get too specific about it, but they basically need tissue that's torn from the child while the child is alive. That's the best quality tissue for research. They're creating chimeric animals for studies. Harvard University has provided some background explaining that mice with human immune systems are engineered to this condition only by the means of using human fetal material, and this material can only come from aborted babies, not miscarriages. Now, they don't explain why it can only come from aborted babies, but I just told you why. And they can sue me if I'm insulting anyone or misrepresenting the fact that they want the freshest tissue from living people. This is disgusting. FDA released a statement. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is committed to ensuring that its research is conducted responsibly, conforms with all legal requirements, and meets the highest ethical standards as they create Frankenmice with human fetal tissue. Wow. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, remember that the House of Representatives, your House of Representatives, passed an omnibus appropriations bill that included language that would have prevented federal funding of research that uses tissue from aborted babies. You remember that? Do you remember the Republicans and the pro-life industry and the pro-family industry and how they all did a rah-rah about how we've gotten this language in? Because we were so shocked by the Center for Medical Progress's revelations that Planned Parenthood was selling baby body parts for profit, blah, blah, blah. And so we got this language in there because we're fighting for you and we're winning. So while the language did pass the House, the language that prevented further research on the tissues of murdered human beings, that language never made it into any of the spending bills that were ultimately signed into law by President Donald Trump, who never mentioned that language didn't make it in there. And nobody ever mentioned it. All the pro-family industry groups that sent you fundraising letters about how hard they were fighting after the fact, they never mentioned that this language never actually made it to restrict any fetal tissue research at all. So we were all duped and suckered again. Well, I wasn't. I wasn't at all. What next? Do we want to do, John Hickenlooper, this guy. This is from the Genesis file. Jack Phillips is in another legal battle. The Civil Rights Commission here in the state of Colorado, he says they're coming after me again. This time, it's because a tranny insisted he make him a cake with a message celebrating his transition. And Phillips wouldn't do it. He said, no, I don't support transgenderism. In fact, I have a great quote here from Jack. Jack says, I believe God made male and female. We don't get to choose. We don't get to change. And I don't want to celebrate someone who thinks they can, unquote. Well, I appreciate that, Jack. That's why this made it in the Genesis file. That's right out of Genesis. I love it. Jack Phillips quotes Genesis, and the weight of the state of Colorado drops upon his head like a hammer. Phillips... Listen to this. KDVR Channel 9, I don't know, one of the local news stations reports. Phillips believes the Supreme Court ruling in June. Remember Phillips 1? Remember that? So Phillips believes that the Supreme Court ruling in June allowed him to say no to anyone, including trannies, if it goes against his faith. Well, guess what? Jack Phillips is wrong. The Colorado Civil Rights Commission is actively pursuing him again after a transgender woman named Autumn, which means it's a man, filed a complaint. And by the way, Autumn the tranny is an area attorney. It's a lawyer, a transgendered lawyer. I'm a tranny lawyer. How about that? Coming after Jack Phillips. The tranny lawyer requested her cake the same day the Supreme Court agreed to hear Jack Phillips same-sex wedding cake. So the game was on from the minute Jack Phillips got an audience with the Supreme Court. Governor John Hickenlooper was asked if the state had a vendetta against Jack Phillips. Hickenlooper, by the way, is named in Phillips' new lawsuit. And here's what John Hickenlooper had to say. He said, quote, "Certainly I can't imagine we have a vendetta against anyone." Excuse me? So he said, "Certainly I can't imagine that we have a vendetta against who, Jack Phillips?" No, just anyone. "Certainly I can't imagine we have a vendetta against anyone. But," big but right there, giant big but, "but it seems to me you shouldn't be able to withhold your services or products from someone else based on their religion." Okay, so who's religion, Hickenlooper? The tranny? Is that religion now? Maybe he just misspoke. But he didn't misspoke in the first part. "Certainly I can't imagine we have a vendetta against anyone." Which is basically to say, yes, we have a vendetta. We're going to get him. Anyway, but it's not a vendetta, by the way, because a vendetta would be a private affair. This is state power being inflicted upon a citizen for doing and saying what is right and good. And that's way worse than a vendetta, John Hickenlooper. Anyway, get out of here, Hickenlooper. Tell your story, Walken. CDC says 1 in 4 adults has a disability. You get that? According to a report issued last week by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there can only be one center. Am I wrong about that? I mean, I didn't make it very far in math and geometry and physics, but there can only be one center. How can there be the Centers for Disease Control? Well, but I'll leave that aside. But they have a new study that says 1 in 4 adults reported they have a disability. That's like 25% of the people, right? Check my math on that. Dr. Boyle, director of CDC's National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities, says, what does Dr. Boyle say? "Learning more about people with disabilities in the United States can help us better understand and meet their health needs." Thank you, Dr. Boyle. I'd rather you didn't meet my health needs. Much as I appreciate your concern, I'll take care of my own disability. By the way, I don't claim to have any disability except this bizarro... I'm having some kind of bizarro allergic... I don't know what it is. Maybe it's glyphosate. Maybe. Did you hear about this? This comes to us from the science... Really? File. A new report found glyphosate, the weed-killing chemical in popular breakfast foods, granolas, and oats. Quaker Old Fashioned Oats, Cheerios, Quaker Dinosaur Egg Instant Oats, Great Value Instant Oats, Back to Nature Granola. Oh, it's horrible. They found glyphosate in the granola. That's right. According to some liberals... who are these people with? The Council on Environmental Health for the American Academy of Pediatrics. They said they found trace amounts of Monsanto's Roundup glyphosate. I'm sorry, it's the basic ingredient of Monsanto's Roundup. And they found it in the granola, which is freaking everybody out. So they tested these products. And according to this report from CBS, the products had levels higher than what some scientists consider safe for children. The levels of glyphosate are higher than what some scientists consider safe. Are those ancient alien theorists by chance? She asked. Maybe. Well, we don't really know who the scientists are, what the levels are, or what. Anyway, glyphosate kills plants. So I'm sure it's not good to eat. So don't get me wrong. I'm sure I'd rather not have any in my food. Don't get me wrong. But let me just say, because of the history of the American Academy of Pediatrics, I take this report with a grain of salt. Now, Dr. Jennifer over at the Council for Environmental Health and the American Academy of Pediatrics She does not. She says, I was shocked. We don't know a lot about the effects of glyphosate on children. Well, then why are you shocked? I mean, we've been eating it for 40 years. If we don't know a lot about the effects, maybe there aren't that many. Certainly not enough to get shocked about. I mean, I can understand you writing a report. I mean, this is what you do. This is how you make yourself, I don't know, this is how you give yourself value. Make yourself of value to the world by writing reports on such things, and that's fine. But to be shocked? Anyway, the World Health Organization says glyphosate is a probable carcinogen. And California listed as a chemical known to the state to cause cancer, which they list everything. You ever go into a restaurant or a grocery store in California? They have a placard that lists like 875 things that are known to cause cancer in the state of California, including half the things you're about to go buy on the shelf. Anyway, so we take that with a grain of salt. Monsanto says glyphosate. I have a thing. Glyphosate. Have I been pronouncing it wrong the whole time? It's G-L-Y-P-H-O-S-A-T-E. Glyphosate or glyphosate? Anyway, it's basically an herbicide that works really well. And Monsanto says it does not cause cancer and has more than a 40-year history of safe use. Well, I don't know all the details, but I know that it has been used for 40 years. And as I reported last show, it has basically revolutionized farming, along with genetic modifications. But we're still shocked, because you remember, a jury in California just ordered Monsanto to pay a guy almost $300 million after he claimed that Roundup caused his cancer. Well, and we'll see how that goes. Because one jury in California, I mean, they do all kinds of crackpot things. Was it a California jury that awarded the woman all that money for the hot coffee and the whole McDonald's fiasco? You know, McDonald's never ended up paying that. Might want to let this guy know. McDonald's never ended up paying no, they didn't. Anyway, this is the same American Academy of Pediatrics that promotes transgenderism in children. So forgive me if I'm skeptical. And forgive me if I'm thankful for glyphosate and all it's done. But that's the Weekly Worldview, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and AmericanRightToLife.com for everything they do. And, of course, to my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview studios. Should the Lord tarry, we shall return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.